idea instead. Okay, how is everyone going? All right, now the story's a little bit gory, so I'm glad the kids are going out. Okay, sorry, I wasn't expecting it to jump straight in. I thought Pastor Rena would come up first. But all right, I'll be reading today's scripture. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'll be reading in two parts. So if you're following my reading, you can start from verse 4, and I'll read up to verse 11, and then I'll jump down to 38 to 51. So for most of us, we've probably heard that we're going to be talking about the life of David. So you've probably seen some of the slides go up about the five stones. So this is really a battle scene. So Pastor Rita... I'll read it? Okay, don't explain it. Okay. All right, so I'm going to be reading from the ESV version as well, so just in case you're following. And I'm going to be a little bit animated, so I do apologize if you're wanting a quiet service. Verse 4. And there came about from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which is about 3 meters tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come up to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy but handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Got a great big God, amen? When you hear that story, don't you feel you come alive again every time you hear the story of David and Goliath? I just want to tell you, if some of you do not know about David, or maybe some of us need a refresher and reminder about David, he was a young shepherd boy. He was youngest of 8 sons. He was not considered important and worth anything to his family. He was left out, spoken down to, and he was misjudged. David was treated like an outcast in his family, left in the fields while his brothers were invited to meet the prophet Samuel. We know the story. So David was overlooked, misunderstood, and was even insulted by his oldest brother. But while people dismissed him, God saw him. Amen? God saw him. And in the fields where he tended the sheep, God was preparing him to defeat giants, to defeat Goliath, and eventually lead a nation. Isn't that amazing? David developed courage. He developed faith and a deep relationship with God, fighting off lions and bears just to protect the flock. He was faithful in the unseen places, worshiping God with his harp and trusting God with his daily task. You see, the story of David and Goliath isn't just a children's tale of courage. I believe it is a spiritual, prophetic victory that God has actually given us, if we actually see it in that way. Come on, come have a seat. It's okay. Today we're not going to have music. How's that? She's determined. Thank you. Come on, give her a clap. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Tiggs. Where were we? So the story of David, what did I say about the story of David? It isn't just a tale that we listen for courage, but it is a, what did I say before? Does anyone remember? It's a prophetic, spiritual victory. Because we don't really have big giants right in front of us, unless someone really tall standing in front of me. But every one of us has a Goliath. Don't you agree? Yeah. And same with David, a shepherd boy faced a giant that terrified a nation. Have you all watched recently on Prime where I think there were 8 episodes about the House of David? Is it House of David or the story of David? Who has watched it? about three, four people. Okay, I'm not going to spoil it for other people. If you don't have Prime, go get it. No, I'm just joking. I'm not promoting Prime. Go borrow someone's subscription or whatever and then watch it. What I loved about it, it's so powerful. I just showed that one scene where Goliath was standing and he was defying Israel and he was defying their God. And you know what happens when you have that screaming and shouting at you, what happened to the Israelites? They were paralyzed. They were crippled with fear. They were so scared that they just stood at the side and not wanting to move for 40 days. My friends, 40 days. So then came David, not as we read before or as we heard the reading before, that you know, he took out the armor that Saul gave him. But he actually said what God has given him is that's what he's going to work with. Yeah? And so he came with not worldly weapons, not an armor, but with faith, with obedience, and a sling and a 5 smooth stones. And that's the ancient battle that still speaks today for us. As I said, every one of us have a Goliath. Something that defies God's purpose in our lives. You know what it does? It mocks your identity. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes you in fear. Goliath wasn't just standing in front of David. He stood in the way of the nation's freedom. Who's standing in your way today? Or what is standing in your way today? As I said earlier today, our giants are not from like a big, tall man. I could ask Josh to come and stand here, but where is Josh? He's putting, okay, he's gone to sleep, okay. Oh, and sick, all right. I thought gone to sleep. It's okay, he can sleep, he's allowed to. Where was I? I need to make the writing a bit bigger. Okay, here we go. So, the Goliath that we face today may not be physical or in person that we see. But it comes very subtly that we don't even realize. I'll give you few examples like intimidation, fear, addiction, shame, guilt, despair, bitterness, jealousy, discouragement, anxiety, hopelessness. Did I say depression? Depression. But can I go even deeper here? These are just a few things that we normally would face anyway. But I want to go deeper because I felt the Lord said to me, go deeper, Rin. And maybe even the giants that we face today is actually from our childhood. The things that we have experienced. And we don't even realize that we actually carry it. You know, I'm sure a lot of us know the word trauma. Yeah? We all experience different kinds of trauma, not just from our childhood, but even relationships that we've had with other people, maybe broken relationships that have caused us such deep traumas in our lives. And these giants are pretty loud. They're intimidating and they're persistent. They do not want to let you go. Just like how we heard in 1 Samuel 17:4-11 about Goliath's threat and the fear that he put in Israel. But we all know that our fight is not against flesh and blood, right? Does anyone know how to finish that whole scripture? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against? Come on, shout it out. There you go, Martin. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenly realm. So our fight is not with people. Our fight is not with each other, but there is a spirit always behind it wanting to cause division, cause discouragement, cause deception and distraction. And sometimes even death. So the title of my sermon today, I'm going to do probably a 6-7 week series on the 5 smooth stones. How do we slay the giants within and without? Are you excited? Yes? I like the nods. That's good. That's good enough to know. So you'll be thinking like, what are the 5 smooth stones? It's not preparation, ready your armor. No. It's nothing like that. Nothing of the sort, okay? Because the 5 smooth stones that we are going to learn from David, how he did it, is actually we're going to explore that we fight with the blood of Jesus, that we fight in faith, that we fight in hope, that we fight in love, and we fight with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So it's going to be exciting for the next few weeks how we're going to go about these few stones. Okay? How are we feeling? Are we good? For those of you who are here for the first time, I just want to welcome Josh Wee's family. Welcome, everybody. Just give them a wave. And Josh Wee's twin. I didn't know he had a twin. Everyone knows he had a twin? Okay, I didn't. Sorry. Hi, Josh Wee's twin. there, Josh. There's another Josh, sorry. All right. So are we excited? We're going to dive in together to understand how we are going to fight. And the one way, the first thing before we go into this 5 stones, right, we first need to understand the place of where we fight from. And the first thing we need to know is who we are. Who are you, my friends? Who are you? Do you know who you are? Really? If you know who you are, shout yes. All right, not maybe some of you. Okay, if you really know who you are and you understand who you are, shout yes. Yes. Yes, hallelujah, that's it. All right, that you know who you are, we are not just physical beings. Scripture actually tells us that we are created in God's image. Amen? We are, right? So, but we're created in God's image as a 3-part being. Have you heard this term before? A 3-part being? Okay, got to be louder because, you know, after the concussion or still going through, I can't hear well. Or more like too loud. Okay, just kidding. So the 3-part being, can anyone remember where it's from? Which scripture? Today is going to be a learning day for you guys. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Can we have that scripture up, please? Thank you. Oh, that's a big one. Is it? All right, as a 3-part being, 1 Thessalonians, we don't have the scripture up there? Yeah, but the words of the scripture. Okay, it's not there. Does anyone have it? Can someone read it, please? What version do
you want? Okay. Now, may the God of peace, have I got that right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Yes. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again.
Amen. There are many other scriptures that actually shows that, even in Hebrews 4:12, to talks about that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts through bones and marrow and the division of spirit. So, my friends, what we are going to learn here today, particularly to set us up for the 5 stones, we need to understand ourselves as body, soul, and spirit. Because I think sometimes we forget, the moment we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we say, hey, yay, you know, yes, I'm a new creation, yay, but how come nothing has changed within me? I'm still the same, I still do the old stuff. But nothing has really, really changed. Or why is it that I've been walking with the Lord so long and then I get really stuck? Why am I stuck? What is going on with me? How come I do not have that desire or what is going on? Why? So here we're going to understand what the body, soul, and spirit actually does. Yeah? So I need an example here. Can I have EJ? Where is EJ? Yay, EJ. Come, EJ. You become my spirit. Come on. Give him a round of applause. Can I have Josh Ho, please, as my body? Yes! And can I have... I'll have Charmaine as the mind reader. No, I'm just checking. Yes. All right. Can you all see them? Are they tall enough? Because if people complain that I'm always not tall enough, why am I standing on the floor? If you really want to know why I'm standing on the floor, please come and ask me why I stand on the floor. So these three, yeah, look at them here. So who is spirit? EJ. Who is mind? Charmaine. And who is body? Josh. Why do you look so sad? So what happens in the body, my friends? So the body is where we normally react. That is where what happens in the body. Where's the next? Can I have the next slide, please? Thank you. So what the body actually does is a place where we react. It's the physiological, and we're world conscious. Sorry. Okay, I'm not going to go with my notes. Forget it. All right. The body also have a mind of its own. All right? What happens to the mind, okay? This is where the will, the imaginations, we can go to the next slide as well, please. The will, the thinking, the reasoning, what else happens in the mind? This is where your belief system is. This is where your self-conscious, your personality is developed in your mind. All right? So think about Charmaine, her personality. Sorry, I'm kidding. Playing with you. And EJ, what is the spirit? Okay. The spirit is the one that wins. Okay? That's the one where we react. This is the one where we wrestle in our mind. And this is the place where we win. And this is the place where we actually connect with God. You're more God conscious than the two of them. All right? Okay? No, I'm just kidding. And this one actually determines your identity. So the difference here is this one determines your personality, or your personality comes out, but this one determines your identity. This one just follows. Okay? Because now I'm going to give you an example, yeah? So, This is one body, all right? You have a spirit. When you first come to know Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit within you. And then you have a mind, you have a soul where you think, where you process stuff, but you live in a body, all right? One day our body will go, and that's why I put there the glorification. But this is what I want you to see, all right? So you are sleeping, and the alarm goes off, all right? You are one body. The alarm goes off, and you have to wake up to go to work, all right? So what does the mind think when the alarm goes off?
I just want to sleep. I don't want to wake up.
What do you do?
Snooze.
You snooze your alarm, right? You snooze, and then, but then the mind is probably thinking like, oh my goodness, I have to go to work. Oh no, I haven't finished that part yet. Oh no, I have to feed. Okay, you don't have kids, but I have to feed the kids. I have to get everything ready. What am I to wear? You know, all these things your mind is actually thinking, yeah? What does the body say? The body also have a mind of its own. What does the body say? Come on.
Depends how much sleep I had.
No, the body is actually feeling, wow, because it reacts to the outside. Yeah, that's what the body feels. So the body feels, my bed is nice. It's nice and warm. It's winter. I do not want to get up. I actually do not want to walk out, get out of my bed. It's too cold. Oh no, I have to feed Jeremiah. I have to get everyone ready. Oh no, we have to go to church. You know, all these things, your body is feeling, your body is reacting to your surrounding. That's what happens. But then what does your spirit actually say?
Maybe I should go up, get up.
Yes, come on, get up, wake up. Come, I've got things for you. I've got things ready for you. I want to bless you. I want, you know, instead of like, no, your spirit is awakened to hear God. Your spirit is saying, come on, you can do this. You can get up. You can wake up. You can do this. Because I want to seek your face. He's like, okay, I want to seek your face. Guys, sometimes we forget where we're fighting from. Most of the times in our lives when things happen to us, you see, because God wants us to be young, beautiful, and perfect. In His eyes, that's how He created us. He made us good. He made us perfect in His sight. But then unfortunately, when things happen in our lives, be it our childhood traumas, be it relationships, be it anything, and then what happens? Let me tell you something, okay? If you don't really already know this, all right, you can rest. The devil will only fight here. He has, and also here, he will try and throw diseases at you, but he first wants to infect here. That's why the Bible actually tells us in Romans 12, 1, 2, actually tells us that, hey, you need to be what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds daily. Why? Because our minds are easily, that's where we wrestle. We actually think about, oh my goodness, this is what the person say about me. This is not how you do it. This is how we do it. We do not know how to stop and actually go to God because this one always wants to be in control. Yeah, the mind, this is where we wrestle. And then the body literally just follows. And sometimes the body is, and even the body, I don't know whether you have read this book, but the body remembers or the body keeps scores. Have you ever read that book? I think being a chaplain, one of the things that we had to learn is that our body actually keeps score, that we actually remember the pain until I have to give it to God and actually say, God, take that pain away. Because I don't really like to say about this because my father will be coming one day and I pray that when he comes to church, you all show some forgiveness to him. When I was younger, he would beat me up and hit me with either a belt or with his hand or slap his, you know, when men slaps his face, it's very painful, you know, or with a hanger. I don't know why they do that in Malaysia, but that's what they did, right? But something I had to learn because I didn't realize, and but my father would do this, like, you know, push the head and go, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. And funny, every time when I would remember something and I feel stupid, I feel the pain here. And every time I feel not good enough, I feel the pain here. Because that's where he would beat me with the belt. And the body keeps scores. Without us realizing, we actually remember that. But until, you know, when Pastor Matt taught us to pause, yes, it is pause. But sometimes we don't know what to do in that pause. But can I go deeper today? Can I say when you pause, you actually need to stop. And actually stop and say, what is it, God, that I need to stop? So stop whatever how your brain is processing and actually trying to tell you because of the traumas that has happened in your life to actually say that, hey, you're not good enough. Hey, remember, you are not worth it. Okay, you are nothing. You're not going to amount to anything. That's what the trauma wants to tell you. And that's what the enemy does. The devil actually comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we heard that, what Brother John actually said. He comes to steal and kill and destroy your joy. And how does he come? He tries and brings deception. He tries and brings distraction. He tries and brings discouragement. And how does he discourage us? He will use our parents. He will use our friends. He will use our spouse. He will use the pastor of the church. Who will use the leaders in the church, who will use your children to discourage you. That's what he does. And you know what? That's our real Goliath. That is our real Goliath. That's our real enemy. It's not the person, your family. It's not the person who has hurt you. Yes, the devil can use you to hurt you and harm you, but you know what? Let me tell you, your spirit, if it is aligning to the Word of God, if it aligns to the Word of God, that means, hey, should I go clubbing tonight and party and feel everything tonight? Yeah, you know, I'm in that place. You know what? But you don't realize that because your body, I don't know about you guys, but every time I hear music, M&M's, you know, yeah, I'm like, but then I'm hearing, oh my God, what am I listening to? You know, but it's boppy because your body knows how to move to it. It knows because it feels that rhythm. It's nice. It's great. Sorry, I'm not putting any band members down, okay? The body knows and keeps scores. But what I want to help us today, I want us when we walk out of the church today, that we realize and we know that our fight is not against flesh and blood. That we actually don't just try and reason things in our head, but we actually need to come to the Spirit of God. Let your body, let your spirit and your mind, because when your spirit agrees with Jesus, let me tell you, when your spirit agrees with the Word of God, your mind has to follow. Come follow a little bit. And when these two partners together, yeah, the body follows. But then starts to blame everyone else and blame yourself and use everything because that's not you, that is the enemy putting all those words to you. And if you just following and doing this. I'm sure you all heard of the secure attachment theory, yeah? When it's secure, when you have a good relationship with your parents and the people surrounding you, you have a good secure attachment. But then what happens is that when you do not have that established well, when you don't have that established, we have anxious attachment. We have avoidant attachments. I forgot the rest already. I don't know. Anxious, avoidant. But there's anxious and avoidant, but anxious and avoidant. Okay, both. All right. She knows better. Okay, I've got the right person up here. So she got anxious, avoidant attachment. Okay, she does it. For now, you do. Okay, but I break that right now in the name of Jesus. Okay, so that avoidant attachment. And you know what? Remember how I said the body keeps scores? The body actually remembers. So when she is thinking this way, when she is faced in a relationship, just say in a very bad relationship, or in a not bad relationship, in a marriage relationship, just say one day, okay, that you know you're going through stuff, but because you haven't dealt with stuff before in your past, and your body seems to remember. Come follow. Charmaine. Yes, your body follows. So every time when she's anxious. Where does it feel in your body? Can I ask you something? I don't know about you guys, but for me, there's something in my life that I haven't been dealt with, right? And suddenly my body will feel that fear, even knowing what it is about. Yeah? Have you ever experienced something like that, whether fearful or have to stand in front of somebody, or you just completely avoid, like, you know what, I'm not going to go there. I cannot take crowds, or I cannot go into the elevator, or something like that. That fear just would come from within. Yeah? So that's something that the body remembers, but then it's because it has never been dealt with in the mind. Okay? Because the spirit needs to come together with Jesus, then all of this come in alignment with God. Can you give them a round of applause? Does that speak anything to you guys? What I'm trying to say today, to invite all of us in this space, that can we come and operate from a place of listening to what Holy Spirit is saying? Because Jesus absolutely loves you. You know, when we came into this picture with Jesus, when we were born again into his image, one of the things that actually he wants to do the most, so that we can be effective, is actually to heal us. It's actually to heal us. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to give sight to the blind. Honestly, it's us. We were once blinded by the things that have been said to us, or how the enemy wants us to believe. He wants to set us free from the bondage that unfortunately the enemy has been holding us. I can only tell you from my experience. I just shared a little bit about my father. Good thing my mom's not here today. I don't know if she'll listen to the sermon. I hope not. I just shared that I was beaten. As some of you all know, I was also raped. And to actually forgive these people who have hurt me and made me feel so small and put me down, I actually wouldn't be here today. But it's not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit. I think the invitation here is that, hey, can we listen to what Holy Spirit is actually saying to us? And one of the things that I had to learn is that I have to give my pain to God and sit with him and say, hey, Jesus, this is what he did to me. Hey, Jesus, this is how he did. And I described every single thing. And then after that, I'm going to hear what Jesus has to say. And he said, I forgive you. I love you. I make you a whole again. This is how he does. What does this got to do with David and Goliath? In the five stones. The five smooth stones. As I said, David was an outcast. He was like a nobody to his family. But God saw him. And God is seeing you right now. And one of the things that actually stops us from actually standing and walking in the Spirit of God is actually a spirit of intimidation. You know, 2 Timothy verse 1-7 actually says that, for God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Can I tell you that fear is not a feeling? It's actually a spirit. Did you hear me? I'm going to say this again. If one thing you can remember when you walk out of here, that fear is not a feeling. It is a... Say it out loud. It is a? It's a spirit. So what do you do with a spirit when it is not supposed to be in you? Because when it says in 2 Timothy, for God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what does that mean, my friends? What do you do with that spirit when God didn't give you that spirit? That's right. You cast it out. You submit to God. This is what pausing actually means, or actually stopping. You know what? You submit to God and you say, God, I submit to you and I'll flee from that enemy, and you cast that out and I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something. Intimidation comes from a spirit of fear. Yeah? And let me tell you, because of that spirit of fear, it does not allow you to walk in your spiritual authority. What breaks that when you start praising Jesus? What breaks that is when you start aligning yourself with Jesus. What breaks that is that when you know how to humble yourself before God and stop fighting against flesh and blood. Because my friends, you have to remember that you are seated in heavenly places, not down here, not here. Yes, our body is here, but if you start fighting in the realm with the enemies, I'm so sorry, you only grow tired. And that's why when we keep on fighting, we get upset with people and getting upset with everybody, whatever this person has said or this said or that said. And you know what? Don't you think that you get tired? You go like, why am I tired? I'm so frustrated. I'm really, really tired. Because my friends, you're fighting from the place of your flesh. You're fighting from the place of reasoning. You're fighting from a place of your emotions and your will and your reasoning. That is not the place God wants you to fight from. God wants you to fight from a place of when you are seated in heavenly places. You know what that means when you're seated in heavenly places? That means you come up and sit with God. You sit with God here. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Okay, you sit with Jesus. And you know your place and you look down in that situation. And you go, oh. So when you deal with that problem, when you finally see what Jesus is showing you, you come down to that place where you are here in the first world, first realm of the heavenlies. You know what you do? So when you speak to the brother, if I'm upset with you, I'm so angry with you, John. John, you're annoying. Why do you not know how to do the treasury work really well? No, I'm just kidding. Why are you not giving me money? Not me. Well, that ministry. But I'm like, why are you not giving me? And I'll be like so frustrated, right? But then that's me fighting in the flesh. But if I sit with Jesus and know my place, seated in the heavenly realm, and God is showing me what he's doing, why he's doing what he's doing, and there is that peace of God. Because when you work in the Spirit, one of the things, the sign of maturity, is actually self-awareness, self-governance. And the third one that a lot of people do not know is that the fruit of the Spirit is very evident in your life. You know what is the fruit of the Spirit? Come on, who is one of the Sunday school teachers here? Shout it out. Love, joy, come. Yes, Iris, peace, patience, kindness. What else? Gentleness, self-control, generosity. I think there's some more. Long-suffering, that's patience. Goodness, yes, goodness. I don't know, was that 9? Okay, so when you know, when you're seated in heavenly places, when you sit with Jesus, when you're hearing what he's saying about John, what he's saying about Melina, what he's saying about Charmaine, what he's saying about Josiah, what he's saying about your children, what he is saying about every single thing, right? Let me tell you something. This is what happens. You have his perspective. And then when I'm speaking with John now, I'm not going to say, hey, John, actually, you know what? Because what comes out of me is the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, kindness, love. I'm here to edify my brother. Yeah? And I said, oh, now I understand why you can't give me that money, because we don't have the money. Okay. We want to give money. But you know, that kind of thing. We understand. Because God loves him as much as he loves me. But our fight is not against flesh and blood. So when you're driving on the street, when you see someone is driving like he drove in front of you and cut you or whatever, please don't swear, okay? You're not Eminem. You are a son of the and daughter of the Most High God. So do not swear. And if you swear, ask forgiveness. That's it, quickly. Don't leave it and just feel like it can be a normal vocabulary, okay? Because God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is his goodness. That is how much he loves you. He doesn't want to leave you the way you are. Because yes, you come as you are, but he is not there. He's not supposed to leave you the same way you came in. Because his job is to transform you. That is who our God is. Because if we're still stuck 5 years ago and we're still the same way that we were 5 years ago, then we're actually not allowing the Holy Spirit to actually move in our heart and change our hearts. Yeah? You know what, guys? There's one thing that I really, really feel is about the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear. I want to break that. I really want to break that over our church because I really want to see that we move in such freedom with Him, in such peace and freedom with Him. One of the stone, we're going to deal with different kind of spirits in the next few weeks, but I feel like for the first week today, I want to deal with that spirit of intimidation. Because that spirit of intimidation blocks you and stops you from actually knowing your spiritual authority from God. And that's one of the things that the devil really wants to take out and not let you have is your authority in Christ Jesus. So one of the first things you need to do, and we're going to close with this. Is this speaking to you guys? If it's not speaking, put up your hands. No, just joking. If it's speaking to you guys, can you just give me a wave so I know that the Holy Spirit is doing something? Yeah? And can you do a second wave? Can you just wave to Him? Because He's here. He's watching us. He doesn't want you to have that fear. Doesn't want you to be intimidated. He wants you to walk in the fullness of His power. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what He has called you. I break that fear right now in the name of Jesus. Break that fear. Guys, can you just close your eyes? I just want you, if you have that, if you wave, you had a wave to God or you waved to me before. Look, you're not, we're here, we're family. And I want you to remember. I want you to go back to that place and know that Jesus is right here, right now. He's right here, right now. Jesus is here. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Would you show your children? Would you show each and every one of them? When did that fear, that intimidation started? Jesus, can you show them? Was it in their childhood? What was the fear that kept them in bondage for so long? That they don't even realize they've been operating in them. Jesus, would you show them? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is showing you the place where that fear, that intimidation started. And I want you, because you know what? I can pray for you, but I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to say, God, Jesus, can you just say Jesus? Jesus, just call unto Him, Jesus, that the name that is above every other name, that every knee shall bow. And this is the name that is so powerful that can cut through anything, any bone and marrow, any division of spirit. Where did that intimidation comes and say, God, Lord, Jesus, I break my agreement with that spirit of intimidation. Say it right now in the name of Jesus. If you want that intimidation, that spirit of fear to go, say, I break that agreement that I had with that spirit of intimidation, that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I break agreement with the spirit of intimidation. I reject every lie that says I have no voice, no authority, or no value. I declare, O Lord Jesus, that I am a child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I live from my spirit and not from fear. Soul, talk to your soul, talk to your mind. Tell your spirit man to speak to your soul. Soul, come to alignment with my spirit. Rise up in truth and power. This is how you pray, my friends. Say, soul, you listen to the Holy Spirit. Body, listen to the Spirit of God. I do not subject to how the world actually operates. I subject myself to the Holy Spirit. I subject myself to the will of God. That is how we live. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.